Hallelujah. God is a good God. His word is true. It's truth. Go ahead and take a moment to turn to John 15. We'll start there. That's been John 15, 17 have been our text, and then we'll move on from there. If you haven't heard some of these earlier messages in this series, I encourage you to go back and listen to them. It will help you because these build on one another. We just go line upon line, go a little bit further every time, and we can't possibly go back and review. We'll set the stage today, but we can't go back and review everything. So go back, listen to them, catch up, and so that you can get the maximum value as we go forward. John 15, verse 18. Anybody there? It says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Now skip down to John 17. Notice there he said, you're not of this world. John 17, verse 9. It says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine. I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Let's skip down to verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Now notice there in these two verses, he said, you are not of the world, we are not of the world, but then he said, we're in the world. So we know that, we're here, but we're not of this world. In other words, we are not, this world is of a different spirit, different father than we are. As if we're born again, we're in the family of God. This world is not. We're going to read a couple scriptures to that effect. But he said, verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify means set apart. By your truth, your word is truth. This word of God that we have here is truth. In verse 19, he said, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So we're going to be set apart by the truth. We're not of this world. What's going to show that we're different and how we're going to experience different is by hooking up with the truth, which is his word. Now let's go over a few scriptures on your sheet just to set the stage. We read, and we're not going to take, these aren't on your sheet, but I'm just going to read them. Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We went over that several times. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20. 1 Peter 1:17. Now, we covered all these scriptures, and we're not going to take the time to go into them all now. That's why I'm just reading them. But make a note if you didn't have them before. Go back and listen to the previous messages. 1 Peter 1:17 says, conduct yourselves throughout your time of your stay here in fear. That same verse in the New Living Translation says, so you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. So he said, live the way you ought to live while you're here. You're only here temporarily, and this isn't your home. Now I know we're all born here. Your natural body is of this world, but the real you, the spirit being, see, to even get what we're saying fully, you have to understand, and we're not going to take time to teach on this today. We have several series on our website about this, but you have to understand, you are a spirit. You live you have a soul, you have a mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. So your body isn't the real you. It's you, but it's really just an advanced machine. It's you. I mean, you're going around this earth in it, but it's just like you. Most of you probably got here in a car or some other vehicle. If you own a car, that you wouldn't say that's part of you. Not in this age. You know, maybe someday. I don't know. You have augmented. But not now. It's your car. You get in your car. You get out of your car. You use your car. What? To get around in. But it's not you. You have a car. That's my car. Well, it's the same way really with your body. This is my body. But it's not really me. How do we know that? When this body goes back into the ground, I'm still going to be living, and I'm going to slip out of it like a hand slips out of a glove. It looks like, you know, the hand is not the glove. If I'm wearing a glove, I move my fingers around, the glove moves around. It may look like the hand is the glove, but really, I can slip the glove off, and now the glove is limp. The glove doesn't do anything. It's the hand that's animating the glove. That's the same way your spirit is. Your spirit's the real you. You realize we're gonna recognize each other in heaven. And this body is not going to be there at that point. The Bible says we're going to get a new body. Thank God for that. But this body is going to go in the grave. It's just your earth suit. It's just what we get around here in. Your mind, your will, and emotions, you'll have those. That's called your soul. Those are part of you that will go with you. But the real you is your spirit. And so that's how your spirit's the part of you that's been renewed, been recreated, not your body, not your soul. When you became born again, when you believe on Jesus, your body doesn't suddenly change. It's something different. And your soul does not get reset either. So if you had bad habits before you got born again, you still have them. Generally speaking, some people, they get born again and maybe they have an experience and a habit drops off. That's supernatural. But the more common case is you drop them off as you line up your mind with the Word. These your actions change. So you have to change your soul. Change your mind, will, and emotions. That's what we're going to be talking about primarily today. But we have to understand when we're saying we're not of this world, yes, your body's of this world. Okay, done. Yes, you can show, you can track your genealogy to your parents and their parents, and yes. Yes, your mind, your physical body is of this. It's not, we're not saying you got imported all of a sudden. No, your spirit, though, is not part of this world. You're here, you're in the world, but you're not of it. We have a home in heaven. That's our home. People that are not born again, if they have not believed on Jesus, their spirit is dead. See, a baby, I'm not going to get into this, but I'll speak on it just for a moment because we have to understand these things. Men have created doctrines because they don't understand the Word. And do you understand the Word that was given and written in the early church had an understanding of these things that we're talking about today? It was all clear to them. And the early church walked in the things that are written in the Word. You see the Acts of the Apostles. They walked in the power of God. They saw things done. But over time, these things started to get lost. And with the Roman Empire and the Christianity just became common, it was a different form, though. Religion took the place of true Christianity. So things started to get, they weren't completely lost, but only a few people carried them along. And a lot of things all but seemed to die out over time in the Dark Ages and coming back. Then there was started to be a renewal of things. You had Martin Luther come, and it's by faith. Do you realize most people, there wasn't a common Bible? I mean, in the 1500s, they didn't have the Bible in the vernacular of the people. It wasn't like you and I. You can't just, well, I'm going to check this out for myself. I'm going to Google it. No. It's what people told you. You could not read the Scripture. It was not in your language unless you knew Latin, or you know, you knew the languages, that you knew Hebrew, you knew Greek, you knew the common languages that was translated. It was not in the vernacular of the people. So you could not do this. You couldn't. The common people were told certain things, and if the church did not pass it on, the people were in the dark, and so things were lost over time. But then they started coming back. Martin Luther was looking at the scripture and said, wait a minute, it's not by all these hoops to jump through to get to God. It's not all these this penance and all this stuff. The word says that it's by faith. That was news. People were like, whoa. And you saw holiness come back and healing come back and the gifts of the Spirit come back and then filling of the Holy Spirit come back. You saw these things added. These are not new things. They've just been added back to the church. Because people lost them in their understanding. So, a person, when they come into the world, a baby, does not need to be baptized to go to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you are going to heaven, you are born again, you are a child of God because you believe on Jesus. Well, a baby can't do that. Baby doesn't know their name. No, the truth of the matter, the baby comes in, the baby's alive spiritually. They're not dead. How did they get dead? Where did the spirit come from? It came from God. Where did their body come from? It was by their parents, just natural way of life, conception. Yep. But where'd their spirit come from? Didn't come from hell. God's the creator. That baby's brand new. That baby's alive to God and the things of God. You have accounts, little children, they see angels. They know certain things. Why? They're alive to God. Their spirit's alive. They're not dead. So men say, well, wait a minute, we're teaching that you got to know God, but what happens to the little babies? They generate this doctrine. I've taught on this. I can't get into this morning. This is not what we're going to focus on. But I will just say this, I'm saying this because we have to know how are we different? When do we get different? Well, baby is alive until they reach what we would call an age of accountability. That's not a biblical term, but you can see it. Paul said, I was alive once without the law, but when the law came, sin revived and I died. When a person knowingly, willfully sins, and they know what they're doing. See, some people never reach this age. Do you understand that? You can have somebody that, you know, it has something wrong with their mental faculties or something, and they can be 30, but have the mind of a child. They've never reached that age. They have never reached that understanding. If they die, they can be with Jesus. You understand that?
Yes.
But when a person gets that point, they know, I'm doing something wrong. I'm going to do it anyway. Their spirit dies. Their outside did not die. Their mind, because God, Paul said, the law came, sin revived, and I died. Well, who's writing that? Paul? Is he dead? No. What does he mean? His spirit. Is his mind, what's he using? Is his body dead? Is his soul dead? Well, then he's not able to write and think. So what died? His spirit. Do you know what that means? It's separated from God. Spiritual death is not like we think. Physical death, you just cease to exist. No, no, no. Spiritual death, you're separated from God. Do you realize everybody that's ever existed is going to live forever? No. Startling thought. Yeah. We can't even wrap our mind around it. Yeah. You're either alive to God or you're not. It's a horrible thing to be separated from Him. But there's a whole lot of people in the world that are. When you become born again, see, so you're if you've passed that age, your spirit is dead. The only way to come into contact with God and to be made alive is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To believe on Him. Hallelujah. When that happens, the Bible says all old things have passed away. Behold, in 1 Corinthians, behold, all things have become new. You are a new creature in Christ. Let's just take the time. Let's just turn over there real quick. This is all right along with what we're talking about, because I want you to understand what we're saying when we're saying we're not of this world doesn't mean, yes, your body is, yes, your soul is, but your spirit is what we're talking about. And this helps us to understand what we need to do to go forward with God. I'm sorry, I said first. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's go to verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's why we need a Bible. Don't just go off the sheet. I give you that sheet for your convenience, but we don't necessarily know everywhere we're going to go. You're not going to be limited by it either. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Everybody there? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? New creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. How? Through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Just stop right there. What is he saying? Jesus himself, God was through Jesus reconciling the world to himself through what Jesus did. So the payment has been paid for all the world. But the world has to receive it. Every individual has to receive what Jesus did. It's like there's a ticket waiting. It's paid for, but you have to go get it. You have to believe it's there, and you have to pick it up. So what does he say? How are people going to know? Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador? Sent one to be the representative of. We have ambassadors for our country in other nations, right? Yes. Well, they're representative and have certain authority to represent us as a nation. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. See, God is imploring those people in the world through us. It's as if God himself were saying, Jesus died. I sent my son for you. Be reconciled to me. But how's he doing that? Is he coming down, booming a voice from heaven saying, I am God. I have sent my son. No. God said how he's doing it. And people will say things like, well, why don't God prove himself? Well, no, God has already proved himself through the creation, and he has made it, set it up so that men preach to men. Angels don't. I want an angel to come preach the gospel. They won't do it. An angel appeared to Cornelius in Acts, and he told him to go, and there's a certain man. He told him to go see Peter. Why didn't he just preach the gospel to him? Because they don't. They don't. God has set it up that way. Men are going to preach the gospel. So then he went to Peter, and guess what Peter did? Preached the gospel, and guess what happened? They got born again. See, people are looking for supernatural stuff. It is supernatural. It's not spectacular. People are missing the supernatural all the time because they're looking for something spectacular. I want an angel to appear to me and tell me something. Tell me something's going to happen, such and such. You better watch it. Don't ask for those things. Because Satan is a supernatural being. And he has people, the Bible says, he makes himself as an angel of light. They can appear as certain things, appear as an angel. And this is how weird doctrines get started and people get off and people get into wrong things because they believe they're talking to an angel. The quickest way to know if the angel is from God or not is, are they saying something that lines up with the word? Satan can impersonate God to a degree, to angelic beings. And so you do not want to ask for visitations. Don't ask for things to happen. Those things happened in Acts, but they were over a period of time. They don't happen. They happen today. They have not passed away, but don't seek them. Those things are as God wills, but we have the Holy Written Word. Look at the Word. You have in your hands, in English, or whatever language you're comfortable with, you can get it in nearly any language that anybody here. I mean, there's some language they're working on, but those are way out in the boonies. All the main languages, they've been taken care of. So anybody in here that can understand me, you may have another language that you're more comfortable with, but I assure you, there's a Bible in your language. That's a privilege. We can all go to the Word of God for ourselves and verify and look at it and then react on it, to act on it. But so we're ambassadors. Christians are ambassadors to people to share the gospel so that they can act on the Word of God. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He made him, Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Verse 17 then says, so if anyone is in Christ then, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So that's what happens when you believe on Christ, when you become born again, we call it, because that's not a term that people made up. It's in the Bible. Go look in John. You're born again. That means you're not your physical body, but your spirit is recreated. Right here, we see it in the image of God. It's new. So that part of you is not from here, is not of this world, has been, you've been translated out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of His love, into God's kingdom. So we read some of these things then. We just were in 1 Peter when we said this, more clearly explain some of this, but 1 Peter 1:17, so you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. So yes, at this point, yes, our natural body is from here. Our soul has been programmed to a certain degree one way or another. And then our spirit, though, has been recreated. So you're in two places. Either your spirits are dead and you're dead to God, or you're alive and you're alive to God. Those that are alive to God, your citizenship, my citizenship, is in heaven. If we're not, there is a hell. People don't want to talk about hell. In fact, a lot of places have just, well, we're not going to talk about that. It makes people uncomfortable. Well, it ought to make people uncomfortable. You think it's uncomfortable now. We're just getting started. Well, my friends are going to be there. It'll be okay. Oh, no. No. You know, some people say that. It's a comment. Well, I'm okay. It don't matter if I go to hell. All my friends are going to be there. We'll just party. It's not going to be a party. You ever heard that? No. I'm there. You know, everybody will be there. So other people, I don't care. I don't believe in Jesus. Doesn't matter. You know, we'll find out. Well, you don't want to find out. What did we just read in 1 Corinthians? We're ambassadors imploring people, be reconciled to God now. So there's what we say, when we're not citizens of the earth, we're citizens of heaven. That's where we're going. But then there's another place. God has no satisfaction that he is going to judge mankind and sentence some of his creation to hell. That brings him no satisfaction. But he's going to have to do it because he's just Satan. That was made for Satan and his angels. But those that listen to Satan and don't listen to God are going to get the same sentence. It's not God sending them. They chose. So that's where we see we're not of this world now. You have a world that's fallen, and you have a God of this world, we read. So Galatians 1:4 says, who himself, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. 1 John 5:19 says, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Colossians 1:13 says, Jesus, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, or God, it's basically saying, God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood. So we're saying very clearly that our spirit has been renewed, but we're left with our mind. We're left with things that aren't going perfect in this world. And we spoke about it last week, and I encourage you, go listen to that message if you didn't. We can't cover everything we talked about last week, but people that go through this thoughts, and if we're talking today and saying, we're not of this world, we're in it, we're not of it, it's a fallen world, there is a devil, he's the god of this world, but we're new, we're born again, our spirits now are alive to God, our bodies aren't, our souls aren't, but I'm in this world, Jesus has provided all these things for me, why aren't I seeing more of what Jesus provided for me? And we got into that, and we're going to continue today. People, that's the question people ask. Well, if this is, the Bible's true. If what you're saying, and it's not what I'm saying, that's why we turn to Scripture. It's not my opinion. It's the Holy Word, and the Word is truth. If the Word is true, and I've seen some of these things in the Word, why don't I see them in my life right now? And it's a question that gets right down into the meat of where we live. We're not talking about superficial religion. We're not talking about theory. We're not talking about academic, you know, thoughts. We're talking about, if this is real, I want to see it work. Are you with me?
Yes.
I don't want to see theory. I don't want to, you know, there's no point in us getting together as if it's a little club. Because that's what a lot of churches, quote unquote, are now. They're just clubs. They're social clubs. I'm serious. It's just a social club. It's part of the fabric of, we just get together and we talk about these things that we like to hear. And maybe we talk about the same sermon over and over because it really gets us excited. We go home and we live our lives not really lining up with anything we heard. And then we go back to the club. And all our friends are in the club. That's all it is. Now, I'm not saying there isn't truth and truth isn't being preached, but I'm talking about, are we living, are we seeing what we say we believe? Because if we don't, we're just fooling ourselves. Right? So if this is true, then what's the connection? Why would I not see certain things? Why aren't certain things working, if I want to say it that way? And people get... I would say this, especially, I wouldn't say especially, I don't know every group. I would say, I can talk about this camp we're in, if you want to say. The body of Christ is big, okay? But there's all different understandings of the word. I don't pretend that we have everything, you know, 100% in every category. But what we would say, our camp, if you want to, our family, the word of faith, believe in divine healing, believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, believe in speaking in tongues, believing in the power of God, believing that God wants us to do well. I believe all those things are Bible. They're not just word of, people try to say, well, that's the prosperity gospel. That's blabbergrat. Now, it's either in the word or it's not. People make these distinctions. But why are all these different groups around? The body of Christ is big and there's different levels of belief in different areas. Like I said, I'm not saying we're at the pinnacle. There's a lot of things we could come up in, and different people are strong in different areas, but it's exactly what we just mentioned earlier, because things were lost over time. And truths have come back, but not everybody has embraced the truths as they've come back. And a lot of times what you see are the people that led the revival in one area are the most resistant to the next revival. So, you see different, I can name denominations, but there's certain denominations that were with Martin Luther that were started, came out of that. Faith. It's up by faith. But when certain things about holiness, and there's certain, the Wesleys and different people that came out of that were emphasizing, certain people didn't go on with them. When you started to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues come back, people start to say, well, that's new. No, it's not new. It's in 2,000 years ago in Acts, but people will resist that. When you talk about divine healing and the healing revival that happened throughout this century and the mid-century, people, whoa, we don't believe that God heals. See, their doctrine has been going, it, stuff they weren't seeing things, and they started to make up all these things and explain stuff. Well, we believe that passed away. No, it's clearly in the Word. It started to happen. You started to see a revival. But there's whole denominations that say, whoa, no, that's of the devil, or we don't want to see that. We don't believe it. So they go right on with it. They're going to reject that. Then you started having charismatic move in the 70s, the gifts of the Holy Spirit being poured out and things happening. People embraced it. People rejected it. Then you had the teaching of the Word and getting back to what does the Word say about things in the 70s and 80s and early 90s. Some people are, well, no, that's, we don't want to have anything to do with that. We believe our doctrine. We're not going to move on to that. And so you see there's different people that are believing different subsegments of the truth. But all, no matter what we believe, we ought to come back to the Word of God to verify, not church creed or doctrine. Right. See, that's where we got in the trouble, because in those centuries in the middle, it was just what the church said. And you couldn't go home. You did not have a scripture sheet. In fact, you couldn't even understand what they were saying in the service. You're just going. And people ignorant could not read. I mean, you had the masses of people that are uneducated going, and if the priest says it, that's what, okay. They couldn't look it up. So things were lost. And so as it's come back, well, people have stayed in that model. Well, they know that's the person that went to seminary, so they must know some things. And they go and they listen. When are we going to get out of here? You know, this is boring. This doesn't really apply. I want to go watch football, whatever. Not against football. But I'm saying, you know, this is where people are. It's just a secondary thing. I'm there. Why am I there? Because my parents were. I'm here because I'm supposed to be, and I feel guilty if I don't go. So what is it then? It's something I do. It's just something I do. It's not impacting my life. And then, well, my church believes this. I don't know if that's true or not. That's what the priest says. I guess he may know, or the minister, they may know. I mean, they went to school. I don't. So it's just dead. But that's not God's will for us, is not for it to be. God has no grandchildren. You understand that? Yeah. So in other words, he doesn't have children that have children to him. If you're born again, he's your father. And every person has to be born again themselves. Just because your parents are born again doesn't mean you get in the family. It doesn't work that way. Every person has to make the decision for themselves. Now, like we talked about, some people never get to the mental place where they're going to make that decision. That's a different thing. But it's supposed to be a personal relationship. And so, at least when I started to say about the body of Christ, I can't speak for the whole body of Christ. I can speak for the area that I'm in. So we have a segment of the family of the body of Christ that embraces these things that are in the Word. We believe in divine healing. Hallelujah. Not just something we say. I believe in it. I believe the Word teaches it. We're not talking about it. Come on Wednesdays. We talk about it. Lots of stuff on our website about it. We believe that it's God's will. If this is a machine, this body is a machine, and God's will is for you to be healthy and strong on this earth to get His work done, He has no problem fixing your machine. If He's telling you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and this is just like your car, it'd be like you owning a car and like somebody, you know, commissioned you to do something, and you need a car to get around, they're like, well, I broke your car on purpose. Think about it. Just think about it for a minute. The way some people think about the way God looks at sickness and disease, they talk about that God makes people sick on purpose. Okay, that would be like God telling, that'd be like a person commissioning another individual to go do a job. Let's say they're going to run errands all over the country, or they're a salesperson, and their vehicle is a car, and yet the owner of that car, the person that's commissioning, goes and slashes all the tires in it and says, "Now, I did that on purpose. I just wanted to see how you'd handle it. But I still want you to go, but I can't. My car is broken." That's all right. That doesn't even make any sense. But people have embraced that. Why? Because I don't know why all the reasons are, but some of it was lost. So yeah, we embrace divine healing. We embrace the fact it's over and over. And the one reason we talk about it at offering time with finances is because it's so counter to the way the world believes, and it's a big part of our life. Yes. Finances are a big part of our life. You can't deny it. I mean, you deal with it every day. You're paying bills. You're going to work. And for us not to know how to deal with that, that's silly. Some people say, "Well, we're not going to talk about that in church." Where are you going to talk about it? So you're going to listen to people that don't believe in God to figure out how to use your money the way God would want you to. I'm not saying you can't get certain principles from people that aren't Christians, but they all ought to come back and line up with the Word of God. So we believe in that. We believe relationships ought to be healthy and strong. Of course, you know, most of Christianity would agree with that. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Believe in speaking in tongues. That's not weird. It's what the whole early church did. You got to throw portions of the Bible to get rid of it. But why would people say, "Well, that's weird"? Because it was gone. Not completely gone, but a lot gone for centuries. And then it started to spark in the early 1900s. And then it came back. But there's a whole, you know, you have Pentecostals and, Pentecostal charismatics believe. And then whole segments of Christianity says, "Nah, that's weird. We don't want to have anything to do with that." But God, it's come back. It's the Bible. It's not doctrine. It's whether we believe the Word or not. Amen. Does the Word say they all spoke with tongues that the Holy Spirit, does it say it or not? Did Paul say, "I wish that you all would speak in tongues"? I speak in tongues more than you all. I wish that all would speak in tongues. Did he say it or not? Well, if he did, then why are we saying, "Well, he didn't say it. I don't believe it"? Why? Because church doctrine, people have lived with this for years, and, "Well, my church doesn't believe that, so that's weird." Do we believe the Bible or not? So we haven't digressed. This is all. Where are we in our understanding of these things? What we've rejected, what we've accepted, all has to do with our soul. And so I can talk about this word, what we'd call word of faith. Word of faith, by the way, is in the Bible. This word of faith, which we preach, that's in Romans. That's not just something somebody made up. People say that derogatory. Well, the word of faith, it's a biblical term. But believing these things, I can talk about this because I've been in it for all my life, but there's a lot of these things we believe, and then people hear a sermon, they go, "Well, I'm gonna try certain things," and they're sincere but misguided, and they're trying to run with what they heard with not having a full understanding of certain things, and then certain things aren't working, and then they go back, they can blame God, they can feel frustrated, they can feel like none of this works. My question is, if it's not, why? What would be the main reason? If Jesus has already provided all these things, if we're in this world but we're not of it, God, Satan is the Lord of this world, but Jesus says he's made the way for us to be rescued out. If we're still experiencing things that would correspond with Satan having the lordship over us, even though we've been Christians, why would be the primary reason? A reason, I should say. I'm not saying the reason in every case. I'm saying this is a big thing. And we read in John, just look at your scripture sheet, John 8. Glory to God. John 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." And so we've talked about this several times. The truth will make you free. We spent some time on that. Okay, fine. The truth. What's the truth? The Word. But you hear the Word, and you're like, "Okay, great. So Jesus is my healer," so I run out and I can fall, I try to implement something that I heard somebody else say, or something somebody else gave in a testimony. We need to know things for ourselves and believe them. And I'll give you an example. Now, I'm not going to go there yet, but maybe in a little bit. Let's look at Ephesians. Let's just turn over to Ephesians, because this is where we, part of what we really want to get here, and we've been talking about it here, but I want you to lay your eyes on this scripture. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 17. Everybody there? Or on your sheet? Therefore, I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Notice that. Gentiles are people without God. Because he's writing to Gentiles. He's writing to the non-Jewish people. In today's language, you'd say that the non-Christians, the people without God, because God has sent his Son for all men. But you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Well, how are they walking? They're walking like everybody else is walking. They're doing what everybody else is doing, which is pretty much the way people do in the world. Well, everybody else is doing it. Now, we tell our kids that, well, everybody jumped off a bridge, would you? But the fact is, people still do this when they're adults. And if anything, it's just gotten, you know, we know what everybody else is doing because they're posting updates every 5 minutes. You know what they're eating. I didn't really need to know that. I know where you are today on your day off. Great. So I know everything that everybody else is doing. Well, everybody's just doing well. They're doing that. That's cool. I'm going to do that. Oh, everybody's getting off this social platform and getting onto this. Well, I better get on that because all my friends are there now. Okay. Well, it's just a big herd. You know, we're not always so bright as adults. You may think, well, the kids are just like that. Teenagers, they're just that. Well, just look at society. A lot of people doing the same things. So what's he saying? You don't do that, though. Don't walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Isn't that what we talked about? They are alienated from the life of God. They're cut off. That's what it means. If you're not born again, spiritually dead means you're separated from God. Doesn't mean you cease to exist. Doesn't mean your body's in the grave. Means your spirit. You're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Listen, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man. Which one's that? That's the one we talked about in 2 Corinthians. When you became born again, you were made new. But wait a minute, my body's still the body I had. Wait a minute, my mind's still thinking the same thoughts. But my born again spirit has been translated in the kingdom of God. Jesus has purchased all these things through me, but unless I change my mind and start thinking about the right things, I'm not going to experience these things in this realm. Look at verse 24. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God. Is that what we talked about in 2 Corinthians? All old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You, when you're born again, there's a new creation. Your spirit is new. But the fact is, your mind is not. And thank God. Because if you're standing there at the altar, and, you know, just say that in the service they ask, does anybody need to be born again? And you come up, and you're like, I do. And you're there, and they pray for you, lead you in prayer, and you pray to receive Jesus. And the next second you get done, amen. And you have no clue who you are. You don't know where you're at. You don't know how you got here because your mind's been wiped. It's been recreated. That doesn't happen. Thank God. Where do you go now? So that's not the case. your body all of a sudden didn't change, you know? If you want a tan and you're not tan, you didn't all of a sudden become tan. Didn't become, you know, light skin, dark skin, your hair. If you didn't have hair, didn't all of a sudden have hair. It doesn't change. You're just there. Your body's the same. Mind's the same, but on the inside, this is the realm we can't see, you're radically different. Completely new person. You didn't just get a makeover. You've been rebuilt from the ground up, new. That old person, gone. New, your new, your spirit, completely new. Now what do I do? Now, I need to get the word in me. My mind did not change. Any understanding I came into the building with, all the habits that I've acquired up to this point in my life, regardless of how old I am, all my thinking that I've gotten from my religious teaching or lack of thereof, it's all still there. Do you follow me? Nothing changed. If I think, if I've been taught for 45 years that it's God's will, let's say I was in a denomination that did not really even teach the new birth, being born again. So I'm showing up, but on when I'm showing up, I've been there for all this time, but you know, I'm not really interested, but at the same time, they're saying things. And if I hear stuff, even if I'm only half paying attention for 40 years, I'm picking up something, and my idea about God is being shaped one way or another. And your mind, if it hears the same thing, that's when we talk about the kids in the back. If they hear the word of God from the time they are 6 months older when they go back there, whether you think they're hearing anything or not, they're hearing Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. God is good. Devil, bad. If you just get that down, you're set. God does good things. Devil does bad things. God wants you healthy. God wants you to have all your needs. I mean, just stuff. They're hearing it from the time they're just little. They're just hearing it. You may think, oh, they're playing half the time, but they're absorbing it week after week after week, and then they hear it at home, and then they hear it at church, and then they see the word, and then they come up and they start to understand, oh, there's a Bible, and then they have it in little bits, and then they have it. They're hearing one thing, but if you're not hearing that, you're hearing something. Maybe those kids, maybe the people have just grown up. They don't have anything like a children's church. They're just sitting there and they're hearing the minister or whatever say these things. And God will put sickness on you if he doesn't, to teach you something. May not make sense when they're 5. May not make sense when they're 7. But they're 13, they're 15, they're hearing. God might do something. He might, you know, people say if you don't tithe, they'll take it out in doctor bills or something. You know, people say all kinds of stuff. God will, you know, judge you on certain things. I mean, there is a judgment of God, don't get me wrong, but, you know, God's will for you sometime in your case, he might want you sick. Maybe you were born like that. God wants you poor. He doesn't want you. It's devilish to have money. It's devilish to work after stuff. You know, you might not even say it that clear, but there's things that people pick up. And if we've heard it for decades, and then we get born again, what's in our head? All that. Now, God, I've heard and I've come to a point of faith where I believe the Bible enough to believe Jesus died for me and Jesus is my way out. But how do I make it mine? That question might not even pop into my head. I'm going, basically, even if I'm not conscious of it, I'm wondering, how does this jive with the rest of what I've heard? And it's a process to start getting it unwound. Now something needs to come in and start displacing these lies that I've heard. Anything that doesn't line up with the Word of God, no matter who it came from, is a lie. And deception. Yes. Satan is the deceiver. Yes. He's the liar. And so people are trapped, not because Jesus hasn't paid the price, but because they don't understand what all he's paid. To them, Jesus may be my problem and may be the reason why I'm sick. May be the reason why I'm having problems. Because I heard that back when I was 15. and then again when I was 17, and when I was 22, and when I was 27, and when I was 29. And now you're telling me God's will is that I be healthy? And you see how that comes in, and as much as you want to believe it, you've been programmed over time with something else. And to just say, yeah, but I believe, I'm not saying faith can't rise up, but you know where the main battle is? It's right in your head. Because you'll say, I want that, I believe that, and 15 things will come from your past to try to hit you. Why that's not true. And what about the news media? The news media is saying there's this and this, and that can't possibly be, and there's no cure for this. And if somebody gets this, they only have 3 weeks to live. And all this information, whatever we've let into our head, is now fighting. And we have to, jumping ahead of myself, but the Spirit of God's on the inside of us, and what we focus on and what we feed is going to win. And so it's not a matter of what Jesus has done completely. It's what can we believe. Now, let me touch on this real quick. He said that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That you put on the new man. Putting on the new man is a process of feeding your spirit. So your faith is of the heart. It's just, many of you, this is very familiar, but let's just, I don't know if we'll come back to Ephesians. You can let it go. We have it on our sheet. But just look at Romans 10. I use the scripture a lot when we're teaching about faith. But it's very pertinent here. Look at Romans 10, 8. Hallelujah. Romans 10, verse 8. Everybody there? Anybody need a little more time? You need to look at it. Romans 10, verse 8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Notice that. In your mouth and in your heart. Well, I never heard of. What are you saying the word out? Why do you put an emphasis on what you say? Because the word does. It's in your heart, but it's also what you say. But is in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That's where it says it, the word of faith. See, that's in the Bible. The word of faith. What are we talking about here? We're talking about faith. That's where that came from. The word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe where?
Your heart.
In your head?
No.
In your soul?
No.
In your big toe?
No.
In your heart. What's that? That's your spirit. The heart of a man. Not in your head. Faith is of the heart. Not of your head. Thank God. Touch on that in a sec. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you get born again. How did you get born again? It doesn't matter what's in your head. You bypassed it and said, I believe it. My head may be screaming at me, but there's something that's risen up in my heart, and I believe it. And I acted on it, and I became born again. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes. With the heart one believes. Say this with me. With the heart, one believes. It's with the heart that you believe. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. You believe in your heart and you confess it out with your mouth. That's how you're born again. And that's how you operate in the things of God in every area. You believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth. Now, what about your head? Your head will try to tell you not to do that. And in every area, see, it can keep you from being born again. Well, my church doesn't believe that. Well, I've never heard that. Well, I don't know. There's so many people believe that religion is just all men's ideas anyway. I don't know. You're telling me Jesus died for my sins? I got to believe that, and then I'll be born again. Then I'll be brought into the kingdom of God. That sounds weird to me. What's happening right now? Your head is standing right in the way. Because your heart, if you be open, see, it's got to get through your head. I mean, to some degree. Because your head is what's listening to the language. But if you can comprehend what's being said, your heart will want to act on it. What are you going to do? You going to act on it? Or are you going to say, is your head going to stop you from acting on it? See, your head will dictate what you let through if you let it. Right from being born again, people stay out of the kingdom. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe someday. I don't know about that. And they'll stay right there. Well, it's like that with every other area in the kingdom of God. Whatever area we let the word influence our heart and receive the word and believe it and don't, and any thoughts that are trying to keep us from doing that, we just say no. And we let the word start changing what's in our mind so that we agree with what's in our heart. Those are the areas where it starts coming to pass in our lives. Do you guys see this? You renew your mind. Because your mind, you can be going real good, real well. But your head is telling you it's not working. You don't see anything. This is not working. But tell me again, where is faith? What is faith of? The head or the heart? The heart. What if you have doubt in your head? It can't stop you unless you let it release what's in your heart. And that's what happens. That's what happens. Why would you say it's not working just because you don't see something? Why do you believe it's the truth? It should come back. The answer to that question, we talk about this a lot on Wednesdays. What you're getting right now is a dose. And of course, we talk about it on Sundays too, but we talk about this a lot, about how faith works. So if this is something that's new to you, do everything you can to get here on Wednesdays. Listen to the messages at the very least. Because this impacts every area. But why, the answer to the question, why do you believe something is true, like let's say divine healing. Why would I believe that I could be healed by the power of God, that God wants me well? The right answer is because the word says it's true. It's not because Jim said it's true. It's not because I heard some preacher on the radio says it's true. Not because my favorite song talks about it. Any of those will fall down. Under pressure, will collapse. Because the real reason we should believe it's true is because the word of Almighty God says it's true, and His word is truth. And therefore, it works under any circumstance. That's the right answer. Now, I believe that with my heart. My head can tell me, that's not true. You know it's not true. You don't see. And if you've acted on it and you start believing, your mind will say, you're dumb. Now you've gone and you believe that? That's just hocus pocus, and I don't see it. You don't see it working, so what makes you think it's going to work? If you start saying, yes, it's true, I don't see it, so I don't believe it, now your head, why would your head tell you it's not working? Because it's going by sense knowledge. It can see, feel, touch, and that's the way your natural mind operates. If it can't see it, if it can't touch it, can't hear it, it's not so. But how do we know Jesus exists? Because the Word says it. So how do I know any other truth in the Word of God is true? Because I accept it by faith with my heart, not my head. My head will get in the way and start telling me it's not true. So what do we have to do with our head? We have to reprogram it, get rid of all that junk that's been put in there for how many years. That's why kids that grow up around the Word of God, they don't have to reprogram all that junk. They never had it put in the first place. That's the best testimony you can have. Not that you went to the brink of death with all kinds of sin and stuff, and you came back that you never had to put up with it. Now, I'm not saying you won't have to deal with your head. You will, but it's a different set of challenges. But what's going to get in our way? Our unreprogrammed mind. We need to, that's what'll get you off every time. What are you listening to? What's telling you that it's not going to work? What's telling you that this isn't the way to go? It's your head. So the more we reprogram it, you can get your head on your side. You start washing it. We have the scripture on our sheet. You start washing it by the word. Then this scripture starts to dominate your thinking. Now your mind isn't working against you, it's working with you. Well, of course that's true because God's word says it. Of course that's right. And now your spirit, you're able to act on what that part of your being is, the true you. You start to act on the word, start to act in line with what Jesus has done, and things start to change. Amen. Now, this is a process. Hallelujah. I wish it were snapping your fingers. And so I'm not saying we can't believe God and just act on it. But why would you stop believing God? Because you're convinced it doesn't work. Why would you be convinced? Because of your head. This is a key. Glory to God. The more we change and line our minds up with the word, the more we experience what he's told us in his word. Praise the Lord.